I guess we've had you in one more time since you've been elected. This is your second visit back, and I appreciate that. Kind of give me some overviews. You've been here for a while now. What are the good surprises and the bad surprises that have been out there for you?
Oh, boy. Well, that's a specific question, Scott. So, you know, I tell you what. The good surprise is I feel like the council is moving in a better direction than before I was elected. At least a lot of the things that I want to see addressed, we've moved in the direction of addressing some of those. The bad thing is I lose a heck of a lot of votes, and there's some things I'd love to get done that there simply aren't the votes to do on council. Some agenda items I'd like to see us talk about that, you know, we don't have any way to propose agenda items unless we have a majority of council members agree with us. And Brian, only takes two. So, you know, it's hard to sometimes fail, but, you know, I think in general the direction has been fairly positive. So it's a mixed bag. I mean, anybody who comes into a government body with strong beliefs and thinks they can get everything done in a, you know, in an hour or two like I did is going to be a little bit disappointed.
Well, but you stayed with it. I mean, you're not the first young person who was elected. The last one who got elected, I think, decided he didn't want to. Can you hear me there all right? Okay. They didn't even want to play after a short period of time. I want to go back, and I don't want to visit history too much, but I want to go back to the Welborn vote. Obviously, this is the, I believe, the end of something that's had a lot of publicity. You've said a lot of words about it, but now that the annexation has taken place, I'd like to make sure that people understand exactly where you feel on that, how you feel on that.
Yeah, well, you know, I was against the annexation because I think people in an area to be annexed should be able to vote on it. And I made that fairly clear since I started running for office. But at the meeting, we each had an opportunity to make a statement. The mayor actually gave us each up to 10 minutes, which I said, my gosh, I may fill the whole thing. So you sure you want to do that, mayor? But during my statement, I talked about, you know, a point last summer where I personally got so upset with the Welborn committee that I started questioning my entire principles on the thing and whether or not, you know, I actually wanted to support their right to vote. And I ended up out of that saying, well, yeah, you know, what I originally said, what I originally believed, given these folks' vote, is the right thing to stand for. I think some Welborn folks, from what I've heard, may have taken that the wrong way. They may have thought I was attacking Welborn. What I was actually saying, honestly, was, you know, a shortfall that I have, as any sinner, any human being has, is that at times we can be overcome by emotion. We can be weak. I had that feeling. And what I was trying to share with people was, you know, I knew what it was like to get upset about this on a personal level, to be upset and tie your pride in to your decision making. And it was wrong of me to do that. But through it all, I ended up back where I started, where I felt like I should be, my principles. And so those are important things to cling to, the principles. And I don't want any Welborn person to think I was trying to attack Welborn when I was talking about that period. You know, it was just a learning experience for me, and it ended up being a blessing. But honesty is something that gets me in a lot of trouble, Scott. So, you know, I was a little bit too honest on that maybe. But
well, this is going to be an interesting situation because in addition to the elections, we also have recall questions on the ballot as well. This could end up being a very unusual dynamic that we have in that two senior members are leaving. I mean, under some circumstances, you could end up being mayor pro tem of this city.
Well, I don't think so. Actually, by revolving tradition, every council member ends up eventually being able to be mayor pro tem. No, I think the recall election is really an unfortunate scenario. It certainly is legal for the people who are doing the recall to do it. You know, they have every right under our charter. But I've said since the beginning of the recall that I don't think it's a very good idea for this reason alone. If you're going to talk about setting a precedent, people need to consider before they say, yeah, I'm for the recall, what kind of precedent does this set? If you can elect somebody to office for 3 years, supposedly, but then any issue comes along and some people get upset about you voting a way that you have every right to vote, and then can say, you know what, we're going to remove you from office for that. That changes the whole dynamic. Now, we're a republic, not a pure democracy. And while I certainly believe that people should have more latitude to vote on local issues, I don't think that you should just be able to remove somebody from office for voting in a legal way. Katie Marie Lyles said it pretty well at the meeting, actually. She said that some people have said, and I would agree with this, that annexation is legal, but it's not right. She said some people have said that. But then she said, you know what, recall is legal, but it's not right. And I would kind of fall on those lines, Scott. It really sets a dangerous precedent. And people get in that voting booth, it's a private ballot. But they need to think about that before they pull the trigger.
Well, I understand you're against recall maybe as it is now defined in the College Station Charter, but you're going to have a charter review committee. They're going to have a look at that. There have to be some circumstances where recall is acceptable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the spirit of recall is if somebody is doing something corrupt, if they are really, you know, doing something illegal, if they've broken an actual law, or if they're tricky with, you know, the finances of the city, or they're hiding something from people, there are ways to address those things otherwise. But under most circumstances, if somebody breaks the law, you want to be able to take them out of office. I think that's where we draw the line. If somebody's truly corrupt, then you take them out of office. But if you just disagree with the way that they vote, I don't necessarily think that's a good enough reason.
Jess Fields joining us this morning from the College Station City Council. In our candidates forum that we had earlier this week, one of the questions that I put to those candidates, and I'd be interested to hear what your point of view is on this, and that was the discussion of the ROI, the return on investment that comes from the electrical fund that ends up being put into the general fund. And it's a black and white issue to a lot of those candidates. So since you will be sitting on a council with these candidates, what basically is your point of view with the ROI as it is now?
Well, when I ran, I came right here to Bryan Broadcasting and spent a little bit of money and ran some 60-second ads about the ROI. So I feel strongly that we need to get away from the ROI as a funding source. And just so people understand, Scott, because not everybody even knows what ROI is return on investment from your utility bill, and specifically your electric bill. The city takes 10% out of every person's electric bill, and that goes into the general fund. In other words, that electric bill is being taxed to the tune of 10%. Now, you won't see that, you won't notice it, unless you know it's there. So it is a hidden tax, and that's why we've got to do away with it. The problem is, we can't come out, I don't think, and just say, well, we can just do away with it right away. It definitely has to be a transitionary period. The ROI is around $10 million in revenue on average. It may be a little more, a little less. I think it's a little less this year. So for every percentage that we take down the ROI, we're talking about $1 million. So if we want to cut the ROI in half, we're talking about $5 million, or a little less than 10% of the general fund. I've said it on KBTX a few months ago, I feel like 10% is a pretty good range for us to consider cutting the budget this year. If we want to really be fiscally responsible, we want to be conservative in a tough time, 10% is a good number to shoot for. So if we did that, we could lower the property tax pretty significantly, probably 10, 11 cents, or we could cut the ROI in half. More likely, if we were going to cut the budget, it'd be somewhere in between, because the fact of the matter is the ROI is not as politically feasible to lower as the property tax. So it's going to take some years. It's going to take a direction change from people who run for council, but I'm glad that we're at least talking about it. I appreciate that y'all asked it at the forum.
Well, you know, the thing is I find interesting is even if you see your mortgage statement, you may see what your property taxes are, what your valuation is. But a lot of people don't even pay attention to that. Your utility bill you see every month. You're reminded every month that that money is going someplace else, if you see that. And that's why I think it's a monthly reminder as to what this is as opposed to a property
that's
tax.
That's true. I mean, it's not as visible a tax. It doesn't make it into the eagle or whatever that, oh, hey, you know, the ROI just went up.
Right.
I mean, actually, the ROI, by the way, we're collecting as much as we're legally allowed to.
Sure.
You know, so it can't go up any more than it already is. We can only go down from there. I guess that's a positive. I think it is, it's something we got to deal with. It's not fair for people to be taxed, you know, what was the Beatles song, The Tax Man, you know, tax you when you walk on the street, tax you when you sleep, when you breathe. I mean, it's not fair for people to be taxed every step of the way. So if we're going to honestly tax people, it needs to be the property tax, the sales tax, and then the fees that they pay for other services, which are reasonable fees. But the ROI we need to do away with. It just has to be an incremental thing that we do. We can't do it all at once, unfortunately.
Now, of course, you mentioned property tax, and you would have a better view of this than I would, because I really don't know what the answer is. But what generally is happening to property values in College Station? Because obviously tax rate is important, but the value of the property is also important, because if the value of the property goes down, and while we've had a little bit of a depression in the real estate market, I don't know if it's enough to impact prices or not. What's your feel for that?
Well, the long-term trend is property values have gone up.
Sure.
And that's why for years College Station was able to maintain the tax rate of 43.94 or whatever. I mean, property values went up. Last year, we had a hiccup both in the general economy, but also the appraisals went down on a number of properties. And so the council raised the tax rate a little bit. I wasn't in favor of it, but the council's able to do that by 2% without holding public hearings. The effective tax rate's what the state calls that. And that basically allows the council to continue to collect the same amount of revenue from the year before, all things remaining equal. The outlook that I've heard is we have a lot of surplus property on the market right now. If we don't have enough people moving in to our area, and you assume most people moving in are going to buy homes in College Station, not in Bryan. That's the trend. But we don't have enough people, and we've got a lot of these houses. It's reasonable to assume that at some point property value is going to start to really decline. That would obviously be disastrous for the marketplace and for property owners who want to sell their property and get out of here. But I do feel like, given the projections I've seen, Scott, our growth is going to continue. I think we need to be confident about that. And I think that business owners need to just keep chugging along, and people who are at A&M, need to just keep going along. And so long as we're confident in our economy here, are confident in our market, we're buying and selling locally, we shouldn't worry too much. We're better off than most places. I mean, we're not California, for God's sake.
No,
people
sure.
are moving out of there in droves. And you know what? For the most part, people are moving to College Station. So.
You feel comfortable with the...
I feel fairly comfortable. I mean, if property values go down, the city's collecting less tax revenue, then we just have to make harder decisions. But a lot of people would say we're spending too much money in certain areas anyway. I certainly would be one of those. So, the opportunity to cut would not be the worst thing in the world to happen to us. And let's face it, we could cope with that.
Well, since you're giving me that opening, okay, some areas where we need to be cutting. The Jess Fields view of what are those areas where we need to be cutting?
Where do you want to start?
We only have a little bit of time, but I kind of like to get some generalities from
you. Well, I'll tell you one area that we can really cut, and that is in our O&M budget, operations and maintenance. And one of the easiest areas that we can start to cut into is parks. And a lot of people just had a wreck because, they're thinking, oh, my gosh, he wants to get rid of parks. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get rid of parks. But when you think about parks, you think about what is really – the closest level of government to the people, to somebody who lives on, living out there on the street with their neighbors, it's the HOA. And well, most of our parks in the city are neighborhood parks, and most of our areas are covered by fairly active HOAs. So if HOAs want to take the lead in maintaining some of these neighborhood parks, we could see a dramatic reduction in the O&M budget for the parks maintenance right there. Community parks, still definitely a city function to maintain those. But I would guess that if we really got some active HOAs that wanted to maybe take even a little bit of grant money from the city and to maintain some of the parks, we could see great community involvement that would also lower the O&M budget tremendously. I think we need to cut down on what we spend on economic development. I've said it since I've got elected. I've been the only one, but I think there's a lot of people out there who agree with this. We shouldn't be giving money to private corporations as a general rule. People work hard enough in their own businesses, a lot of small business owners. And then for the city to turn around and give money to any private corporation to come here or anything is really kind of a slap in the face to a small business owner who's working hard and not getting any city assistance. Last year, I think we put, I may be wrong about this, but I think it was like $500,000 in the Economic Development Fund. The Economic Development Fund is doing fine, and I would say that we need to reduce that significantly. We could also reduce the money that we give to the Arts Council. The maintenance of the Arts Council, as far as their personnel and so forth, is about $100,000 a year out of the general fund. Their fundraising, I understand, is picking up. I think that we can continue to fund the arts through the hotel tax, but we can cut that down, and there's $100,000 right there. I guess what I'm getting at here, Scott, because there's a lot of areas we could go through, there are areas that we can reduce our spending at the city level. And if we as a community come together and voluntarily support our community, we can, as individuals, prop up the services that we receive and that everybody in this community depends upon and still spend less money and do it more efficiently than if the city took over everything. The city government alone does not need to be the only vehicle by which everything's done in this community. People recognize that. They're involved in their churches, families, and organizations. But if we as a community recognize that on some of the things the city is currently doing, we could save a lot of money and people would be more involved. It's a win-win scenario.
It is. You want HOAs to come to you? I mean, if they're interested, should they come
Absolutely.
To council?
Yeah, I've tried to make it to some of these HOA meetings, but they're not always publicized. But I'd love to hear from HOAs. I think, and we have a wonderful, right now, wonderful Parks Director, David Schmitz, who is working real hard on, we just contracted out, you talk about something that I think is great that we just did. We just contracted out the landscape maintenance, and that's a $400,000 contract, but we're saving tremendously over what we were previously. I think $125,000 we saved, you know, cut it by 20% or something this year. So that's phenomenal. So, if somebody in an HOA wants to contact me, that's great. My phone number, I guess, is 571-6724, and it's jfields@cstx.gov. And anybody can contact me about anything that they're ticked off about. And I love to hear from people who are upset because I will get back to you as soon as I can.
Okay.
So.
Anything else on your radar screen this morning?
You know, the budget's coming up. And like I mentioned, I really want to see, what can we cut and make the city more efficient in the process. I'm personally interested in providing some direction to our staff that would be in the tune of, let's figure out if we can shave 5 to 10% off of the budget this year. It is a tough economy, but I think that people are having to cut back still. I mean, and the recession's not over yet. And we should continue to take that attitude at the city level. And I think we have so far to some extent, and we need to continue that. I would just continue to encourage people that, when they get in that voting booth and they talk about the recall election, they really need to think about that precedent that's going to be set. I can't tell you, Scott, it's not something I've talked much about, but I just feel it's important that people consider all of the possible consequences before voting on that issue. It's going to affect our community for years to come.
Yep, no doubt. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
You bet. Councilman Jess Fields joining us this morning on WTAW.